Apologies. Brian Quinn, Valerie Hart, John Trainer. Chairman's remarks. I have a couple of things on the chairman's remarks. First, I would like to notify the committee that 18th of December, 17 Uri Morning Down District Council's Environmental Health Service successfully prosecuted local food manufacturer Native Meats Limited Uri under the Food Safety Northern Ireland Order 1991 for selling halal beef salami, which contained 1.5% pork. Judge Peter King, who commented on the significance of the breach, imposed a fine on the company of £1,250 and £141 costs. Secondly, under Chairman's remarks, I would like to also congratulate Sheena McIldowney, Head of Sustainability, Sinead Murphy, Head of Environmental Health Commercial, and James Campbell, Head of Environmental Health Residential, on their recent appointments, and I wish them well in their future appointments. Action sheets from the previous meetings, and we'll go through them page by page. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Councillor Enright. Well, page 4. Councillor Enright.
Just on the renewable energy. I think we also agreed to review the use of solar water because we will get more money from the solar photovoltaics.
Yeah, that's correct, Chairman, and that's what's happening at the moment. There will be a report coming back that reviews the solar water.
Happy enough, Councillor Enright. Page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9. Next, we have declarations of interest. None. And we move on to business item 4. We have a presentation on the community centre effectiveness review. And I would like to welcome along from County Down Rural Community Network, Nicholas McCrickard and Bridge Jennings, who are going to give the presentation. Once again, I welcome you on behalf of Council, Nicholas and Bridge, and I really appreciate the excellent work you do in working in partnership with Uri Morning Down Council.
Thank you. kind of is this different, and there's a lot of different models in place. And then you just say, how to look at this and really kind of change the support mechanisms and bring them into line with each other. So this led on to a need for a comprehensive review of existing operations in order to ensure that the money that was spent on community service was distributed equally and fairly across the district. And then they also acknowledged that there was a need to establish a program of support capacity building in line with the review to help the community organizations that own the community centre. In terms of records that we were given when we made this piece of work, the first was to investigate the current community centre position, so what is currently our downtown to operate throughout the entire district, engage with discussion with the management committee and the staff who are running the management need centres to try and ascertain what's going on and how they're working and effectiveness of money. And from that, then we were to identify and support and give them long term objectives that will help provide better provisions in the future. And then to implement a district-wide plan to ensure that the money that is spent on community provision is spent equally and fairly throughout the whole district and for community center provision. The methodology we employed, first of all, we identified the number of supported community facilities throughout the district and supportively measured community centers that council offered some sort of support to, whether council owned them or council supports them in some shape or form. Then we looked at the different types of support mechanisms that council had in place with these centres, and we mapped the type of provision throughout the district and mapped it within each team. We initiated a review with all the centre staff, so it's a face-to-face meeting, usually lasting an hour and a half to 2 hours. We spelled the questionnaire, and we used the same questionnaire for all the different centres, modifying it a little bit to suit the needs of the centres, but in essence, it's basically gathering the same type of information from all of the centres. So the question, the information that came forward from those meetings, would you censor come forward into the recommendation? The centers participating in the review, we looked at when we mapped out the provision, we came up with four different types of centers. The phase one centers were country-owned centers managed by operating community groups. And then we took 16 of those in total throughout the district. And they were financed by the council under a facilities management agreement. The second type of centres we looked at, we turned to phase two centres. They were community owned and managed by the community, but they received financial assistance for running costs from the council. There were 14 of those again throughout the district, and they received the financial assistance under shared revenue agreement. The next type of centres we looked at were the phase three centres. Again, these were community owned and community managed centres. But they didn't, these three types of centers just didn't receive any type of financial support from council. Now, there's more than 13 of these types of centers throughout the district. We only take a random sample of the centers. We didn't go into every center, so there's vast amounts of different types of community centers out there. We only take a sample. We try to get two within each DEA area to do the representation of them. The CS4 centers, then, these are council owned centers which receive 100% council finance. So council own the building, and council manage, and council staff, and council cover all the running costs of those centres. So in essence, that's the four types of centres we really looked at within the audit. Location of the centres. Now this table shows you where the centres were located. As you can see, within each DEA, there's a wide spread of centres throughout the DEA, but some DEAs have less centres than the other states. We didn't include these three centers in this table. The reason being we only took a sample of them, and there's a lot more than what we looked at. And these three centers, council won't support them, so it's not really relevant to this table. But this is really only giving you a snapshot of where the centers were actually located. And as you can see, the likes of Sleep Spring only have two centers in Fulton, so they're supported by council, where the likes of Sleep Billion have 10 in Fulton. This map then gives you a visualization of the actual location of the centers, and it's shown within shown widespread, so it's very spread across the area through all different DEAs have some type of centers available. And more of the clusters are within the Sullivan and your I can't see near directly, so you can just check how you map out really not too good shown it there. But that's shown in your area itself. Because our clusters so closely together, it's hard to get on the other map. So coming on from the face-to-face meetings we had, we took back lots of information, we analysed all this information. A common core cannot have a number of recommendations and considerations which is put forward to the council. The first five times you made a count was that regardless of where the center is located, if it's in the urban or rural area, the center is a valuable asset to the community at large. And some are beginning to show signs of usage and age and starting to show wear and tear. So our recommendation coming from that is that council should consider a range of measures that will ensure the future long-term sustainability of these centres. Measures need to be put in place to ensure that maintenance costs can be covered and the centres are kept up to standards to ensure the facilities are well maintained. One of the recommendations says council should maybe investigate investments into energy efficiency measures for council facilities. I know council is starting to do that in terms of solar panels and solar centres as well, which will help towards reduced running costs, which might be spent elsewhere. Coming on from that, we find that the phase 2 centres and phase 3 centres, the community owned centres, their money has very solid. The money they generate through hiring out of the facility generally goes to keeping the facility open, paying their running costs, or keeping their lights and the rest of that. There's always very, very little left over for maintenance costs. So we have put forward a recommendation to council to develop a type of maintenance program for non-council owned facilities up to a maximum of £30,000 that each council or non-council owned facility can apply to, which will require some minimum match funding. These centres have very little cash because there's any charges that they have for our facility goes towards the running of it. So there's very little money for the maintenance and upkeep. The next one we look at was support for council for mass groups managing council owned facilities. Now these groups operate under facility management agreements with the council and that council will pay up to 45% of their running costs. Now we find that volunteer committees provide valuable support to the council by managing these centres. So they're managed by volunteer groups who most times have been with it for a long time. And say they're managed under facility management agreements and they're spending up to 45% of their total running costs. Relationships and communication are generally good between the volunteer management committee and the council staff. But it's time we recognise that the council is in a transition period. And we felt there could have been a room for improvement there. Some centres also benefit more than others from council resources. Some have more staff on say some get more money in the likes of that as well. And volunteers are responsible for undertaking a range of health and safety checks, weekly, monthly, and daily checks. And this puts a lot of pressure on the volunteers to ensure these checks are carried out to the best standards. It also exposes the council to an element of risk in that if these 60 checks are not being carried out to the best standards. So coming on from that, our recommendation to you is council should maybe consider implementing a yearly one-to-one meeting between staff and volunteers at the premises. We discuss any issues that volunteers may have, any issues coming forward in the future, and can be dealt with in a timely manner. We'd also maybe look at council resources should be shared more equitably between all the centres. So that's partaking staff like that should be maybe shared out a little bit more. And investigate ways to help remove the burden on volunteers regarding health and safety from that. That's taking the daily, weekly, and monthly checks away from the volunteers in some shape or form. So moving on to support for community-owned and community-managed centres. There's 14 of those centres located throughout the district. And what it is, they receive financial support from the council under a private level agreement. The amount they receive varies between £1,500 up to £4,000. The problem with that program now is close to the entry. So the people, the groups that are in that system now, no one else can get into it. So if you're in it, you're very lucky, but no one else can get into it with you. The recommendations we have come up from that were, first of all, council needs to agree a definition of what is a community centre. This month we were looking to phase 3 centres, the don't receive community support. There's a vast amount of different types of centres out there, so you really need a good definition of what constitutes a community centre, the supporting centre, community as a church, which not different community facilities like that, offering community services. So that would be the first thing. Then we'd say review the act of the service level agreement system to enable us to open up to a wider range of centres. to develop a firm and flexible system to enable all centers to apply to every type of energy facility. The fall within the definition of a community center would be able to apply to this new system. And we did on collection of the gains on a number of agreed criteria, and that would be set up before the application process. And the length of the application is 30 years. We would recommend it to maybe run for a longer period, possibly the length of the term of the time. And there would be a lot of work that has to go on beforehand for this, like working with the community groups and the community centers to tell them what's expected and how to get themselves up to the standard. And then also work with ones who don't get funding, maybe gear them up for the next time and work it to develop the next pathway. Marketing communication. We find that there's a need for a more responsive communication mechanism focusing on community engagement people. So we would recommend the consideration to the development communication system that enables the community centers to respond more quickly to the needs and what's going on within the centers themselves. And maybe for the centers to engage in their own social media and update that as and when needed. Center of Nunar, we find that the fires between the center of Nunar is in both parts of the district. Legacy Marine Warren centers tend to only open on weekdays, where the centers in the legacy line open at weekends as well. So we would recommend the council investigate possible ways to ensure alignment of the services, ensure that centers within the area are all people are getting the same type of service and are supported with this. Booking systems, mission static information for council and Wi-Fi. We find most council centers operate a manual booking system. And why is this sufficient? We say there's room for improvement in that. And we would recommend the council investigate the way for an electronic booking system to be set up, an online type of system where the public can access it. Well, look at the starting center, see what's available and then to do what can be initiated online booking, and then the council staff and then also see and feed into that system as well and know what's available and what's happening within their center. We're also concerned with the requirement within the group to submit static information to the council, and this is not only relevant for the group of students facility management or level groups, it kind of goes across the whole sphere of community groups. Even when they're applying for financial assistance, there's a lot of information that they have to constantly send off to the council, like their constitution, their health and safety, their child protection. So we would recommend sort of a council portal on which this type of information can be sent and only have to be sent once to the council, and all the partners within the council to access this information. So it removes a lot of our organization to constantly have to send same information maybe 4, 5, 6 times a year to the council. We also find that some of the council-owned centres don't have Wi-Fi, and speaking to the staff within the centre, they've seen this as a big hindrance to them, especially in terms of young children coming in, young teenagers and after looking for the Wi-Fi, maybe homework and the likes of that. So we would recommend the council should ensure within council-owned facilities so that there is available free-to-use Wi-Fi services for the general public. Capacity building program. We find the volunteers within the management committee who are somewhere there for a long time. The nature of the work is they constantly change and still go off within the group. One year the group might be really good and really well filled up. Next year you all that expertise. And that still stays within it. We would recommend the council would roll on a yearly or 2 yearly program capacity building. Looking at developing skills of the committee to manage the building effectively, looking at fundraising, look at how you manage a building, look at health and safety, there's a range of different issues there. So just to ensure they maximize the effectiveness of the volunteers there, ensure the skills is constantly kept up to give through all the different groups for managing the building. The last thing to look at was too, it's important to acknowledge the success of the group and the volunteer efforts. Especially the groups who are living out in country-owned buildings. So there's an enormous amount of volunteer efforts to running the buildings and the country-owned buildings and also the community-owned buildings as well. Making sure that fit for purpose and finance is available, making sure bills are paid and they're sourcing all their funds, the staff associates, all that. You know, the council are very supportive and appreciative of this volunteer effort. So we would recommend two days for exhibit, a council should be a yearly celebration event for the committee for managing the community hall. And this could also be used as a networking event, because most of the time these centre managing members are working on their own and they don't know each other. So say a networking event, bring them all together and sharing their experiences, sharing their knowledge. Even for example, when we were in our meeting, this different types of insurance policies they had, and we were able to bring on experience we had gathered from other groups as well, and share the knowledge and maybe get the insurance cheaper. So the likes of that, you have an event where they can network together and learn from each other, and then also do maybe a little bit of training with them. But it's really just good knowledge and trying to improve the level of work that they do on behalf of the council. So the next step is the presentation to the council, and then kind of begin to action and implement recommendations and considerations that we put forward through the report. And I'll pass it on to Nicholas for any questions. Thank you all very much.
Well, thank you very much, Bridge, for that report. Does anyone, Councillor Enright, have any questions?
I do, but before giving my question, I just want to flag up the fact that I appreciate the years of effort the download area plan should have given us, and basically doing the jobs that council won't do, and doing it probably better than we ever would do. So much appreciated for all your efforts across the district. The point about defining what is a community centre is quite important, because we're sort of stuck this last couple of years with those centres that were previously recognised. And I know we've had a very broad definition before, and I think the principles of the broad definition before were clear. I mean, basically, it had to be open to the whole community, and there could only be one per village. And I thought we had developed that definition a little bit better. But, I mean, to contrast and compare, one thinks about, say, for instance, Saul and Rahulp. It's clearly the GAA club. It's open to everyone. The gym is a community gym. The play park's a community play park. Anyone can use the meeting rooms. Yeah. And you could say that places like Bright or Taconnet or Caliph, who have no other facilities, would obviously fall into that sort of a bracket, you know. And then, say, in Arglast, you would have the community centre owned by the Catholic Church. But the committee that runs the community centre is actually mostly people who never attend the Catholic Church and probably aren't even Catholics, you know. And, if, again, the hall is open to everyone, the computer centre, the meeting rooms. So that sort of fits as well, and you could mirror that in several other villages. In that particular case, the GAA club on the outskirts of Arglast, it's just a sports club. It doesn't have that community centre purpose to its existence, you know. And you could say similar sorts of things right across the district, but I think it's important we do button it down, because we need to be able to say to Taconnet or to Caliph, or this is your community centre and we're prepared to engage with you. I know, for instance, in Caliph, the council has been helping them get a gym that's available to the whole community, and a coastal park, which is part granted either by council or the sports, and the new play park's going in there, but it's not recognised as a community centre, do you follow me? And that those sorts of odd things resulting from where we've come from and where we're going to need to be sorted out, you know? So, I mean, how soon do you think we can actually bottom this out? Because there's an awful lot of villagers who would need a recognised community centre, so to speak, you know?
Normal boundary contributions grants, and lots of groups that agreement or specifically terms of that agreement. A little bit more work along the lines of just what you said there, maybe village by village, with a panel or whatever might do that goal, and just try and nail that down, and then have a tight description of what goes to the separate or then perhaps an open call. I think the intention of the officer, what they got to turn here is that this doesn't happen immediately, so nobody's going to be caught out immediately or no call is going to go out immediately. A little bit of work done, and perhaps a year coming in is sort of like a definition and program to make it after the decision.
Councillor Brown.
Thanks, Chair. Thank you very much for the report, folks. Certainly some very useful recommendations there, particularly around the sort of democratisation of the SLA system and opening that up to more groups. Breeze, you'd mentioned something about a cut-off point for that, and I just wanted to sort of miss out exactly the detail on that. I'm thinking, can groups who have a where a community centre is due to be built but hasn't been built yet, but there is a group due to completely manage it themselves. I'm thinking particularly the example of Stainfield Community Centre. Would that group be open to bid for an SLA on that?
As far as the SLA is closed, so I think it would be able to access an SLA, so that's what we said.
Just to reiterate what Greg said earlier, that there's such a wide disparity of funds, and there's no real logic to who gets an SLA and what amount they get from that. So a little bit of thought given that as well in terms of criteria, and it can't be just based on numbers or the threshold. It has to be based on what impact that's going to cause.
Councillor Burns.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks for the presentation, Breeze. Very lazy of Nicky to let you do all the work. I would just say a few points. I mean, I heard an idea earlier on that we should have one community centre per town. I personally would be against that. I think it's too simplistic. I think the better way to go is to have a look at just what you're talking about there now, Nicky, the range of activities. And if that means multi-campus in different towns because it suits that town's range of infrastructure that's already there and utilising it better. So you might take a town like Castle Elm, you have the community centre, but you may also want to use the likes of opening up the local schools and stuff, and because they have different facilities that would complement, I wouldn't have it just as one community centre and everything has to be located in that one location. I particularly like the idea of trying to put Wi-Fi in, though experience would tell me that could be technically a very difficult job in some of our places, like out in Guinness and stuff like that. Even the satellites won't go there. But if we could possibly get Wi-Fi there, I think because we have such a rural population, it would be a place where there is a public Wi-Fi network, so not just for the groups that are using the community centre, but even for people to drop in and use it. So I like that idea. I think capacity building is very important, and it's something that we as a council need to grasp, because the community groups are too busy being community groups to do the capacity building. All the community groups will continue to firefight and do what they do, but they will never grow and they will never get bigger unless we help them do that. So capacity building, and I think in particular pointing in the direction of funding and helping them doing a funding application. One successful funding application is very important. It leads to another, it gives them the confidence and it gives them the ability. And I think the only way we could do that is if the council grab that. We can't just expect them to train somebody up, because as Nicky pointed out, the staff come and go. The portal we spoke about previously, and Janine's probably sick of listening to it, the portal's very important in terms of we constantly ask community groups, sports clubs, whatever, to regurgitate all the same information all the time. There is no reason in this day and age why we cannot have a council portal as linked to our council website and only ask and grant applications for the information that is relevant, and automatically the portal sends out once a year when your child protection statements are due, that it sends out to the representative of the community group and they have 6 weeks to reply. That in this day and age is so simple, and we need to get that off the ground. The fundamental question is what is a community centre? And I just want to throw something into the mix, and Nicky, you'd be in a good place to say if this is a ridiculous idea or whether it's sensible, but the rural development strategy very much points us in the term community hub. And if we could change our community centre thinking to community hub thinking, it would also align us to their strategies and their funding, and that also sits very nice with Sport NI, who are moving from sports clubs to sports hubs as well. So I think the term hub and everything that is aligned with hub, if we could try and make our community centres into small hubs, we may find that it allows them to draw down funding much easier rather than trying to reinvent the wheel. So my idea would be that we look to that. And finally, my bugbear on the council side of things is I think we have to stop paying lip service to the volunteers and people who run community services and sort of put our money where our mouth is. And the example I will give is in Castle Island Community Centre, where they don't necessarily ask for handouts money-wise, but they have a 3G pitch there, and that 3G pitch is their lifeline, and it generates all their money. And they're in the period now where it's at its busiest, and they've been waiting months on the council to change lights, and they've had to close it down because there's light bulbs are blowing. Now they're on the top of these aren't light bulbs that just screw into the wall. This is at the top of a 3G pitch on a 16 meter pole or whatever it is. They can't physically do it themselves, but it's costing them, you know, in the range of a couple of £1,000 a week, and that's not money that we can replace. But it's just a simple matter of getting jobs like that done. And I'm only using that as an example. I think that, you know, when the community people come to us and say, look, here's something that's really restricting our activities, we need to be a lot more reactive and proactive. But thanks again for the presentation, and just be interested in your thoughts on the community hub thing. Okay.
Can I just come in?
You've already been in.
I know.
You've already been in.
All right.
You've already been in. So you have. Is that everyone? Once again, Rage and Nicholas, I would like to thank you for your presentation. And we are looking forward to working with you further down the line. That. Thank you. Item 5, Community Centre Effectiveness Review. Janine, you're taking that.
Yes, Chair. The review was aimed to provide a holistic overview of community centre operations at present. It's now indicated a number of high-level recommendations. We as officers will develop action plans under each of the recommendations for short, medium and long-term objectives, but as officers we're seeking approval to proceed with the recommendations and the resources to help us do so.
Proposed by Councillor Burns. Do you want to speak, Councillor Burns? Second by Councillor Brown. All in favour? Item 6, Financial Assistance Update. Janine.
Yes, Chair. Please say the financial assistance call is currently open. It relates to spend in the 18-19 financial year across a number of revenue things which are detailed in your report. As requested by committee, we have amended the original application form to lessen the administrative burden on the groups. So previously, we would have asked groups to complete one application per theme. We're now saying one application will cover seven themes. And for that reason, we're asking members to encourage groups to attend the workshops that are detailed in your paper, because there have been some changes to the application. Previous feedback from members also suggested that we include insurance costs as eligible expenditure under grant aid. So we're asking permission to do that. And in addition, Sport NI has provided further grant aid for successful applicants under Call 3. We're seeking approval to issue letters of offer in line with those funder conditions.
Thank you. Councillor Loughran.
Thank you, Chair. I'm happy to propose the author's recommendation, but I would just ask, could I get clarification on 2 points from Janine, please? The sports active. The groups who've met the scoring criteria and are on the waiting list at the moment, there's three in my area in particular, they're going to receive a letter of offer, which they must return, but that still doesn't guarantee that they'll get funding. And the second point is the time scale. All these programmes must be completed by the 31st of March. So that leaves less than 8 weeks. One of the groups that I was working with in particular submitted a 12-week programme. So is there any scope for to amend or adjust the programme, seeing that the time scale will be tight?
Just for clarification, the Sport NI funds external funding given to us as council to give out. It's late notice for us in the day also, and that's why we're requesting approval to issue the letters of offer very quickly and get them returned within this 10-day period. Normally we wouldn't put groups under that amount of pressure, but it is additional funding being made available. And I suppose we can only, if Sport NI are saying we have additional money here, can you ask groups, will they spend it? That's all we're seeking permission to do this evening. We will go back to Sport NI and ask them, is there any leniency around that deadline, and put a plea in on behalf of the groups.
Thank you, Janine.
Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. Listening to the paper, I would only be too happy to second it. I think more or less it's a good news story for a lot of people, a lot of the applicants who've submitted the forms, etc., looking for them. But also, Janine, I'm just wondering if at all possible we'll be putting over simplification of the application process, because with hearing your travels, the fact that some of the forms are like a maze or an obstacle course to get around. But maybe, you know, if you get the message back to the relevant people about make it simple and short and simple, which means that applicants will not fall in the first hurdle.
And have been simplified.
Second, yeah. So thank you.
Councillor Burns.
Thanks, Chair. Just two quick questions. Jane, just for my benefit, the Sports Active one, that's the groups that we previously had sent out. They were all scored. So many got funded. So many were past the criteria, but we didn't have the money to fund. We now have additional monies, and we're writing to them in a 10-day turnaround. Okay, so we'll talk to the groups that we've been dealing with. The other one was, in terms of the next phase in general, the workshop process, I know you're trying to get everybody to there, but is that mandatory or just something we're recommending?
No, through the workshops are provided by support.
So they're not mandatory? They don't have to be tech present?
Even if they're not there, but we would obviously encourage all groups to attend, especially with the revised application form.
Okay, Dino, thank you very much.
So, councillors, you've heard it proposed and second that. Accept it. All in favour? No. No. Item 7, the Social Investment Fund update. And Janine is taking that.
Yes, Chair. The paper details the funding shortfall relating to the project, specifically amendments now required to funds allocated by the Ulster Wildlife Trust. So at the minute, the Executive Office is currently finalising 3 new business cases, which will include further information on revised budgets and project objectives. We'll continue to update the committee on those developments and the new business cases, but we're seeking approval to amend the levels of support the Council provides for these 6 projects.
Chair, if I could just want to draw members' attention to the fact that due to the issues of Stormont, there is no way we can be certain that all of the funding that's detailed in this report will be available next year. So the report says that for you. Now, the indications are the money will be there, but as you'll know, with the absence of an executive and functioning ministers and so on, it's the budgets there are not certain and won't be for some time. So,
Councillor Burns.
Yeah, sure. Just on the SIP process, in my experience, and again, I'm drawing on the Castle Island example. I mean, the Castle Island group that have managed to secure the funding and then the council have come in on the back to help deliver the project are telling me that regardless of how many times they contact the council officer in charge, they get no contact back. And to be honest, based on the conversation we just had about the value of community centres and not paying lip service to them and actually action on the things they do, it's not good enough. And it's been reported to council at all levels, but I think it's important that we really, you know, these groups are pulling down hundreds of thousands of pounds in this area. This is not £2,000 or £3,000 from a department. This is hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pounds. And that when they're being kept completely in the dark, and in the example of Castle Island, they don't know when the community centre will close and when the contract is going to roll through the doors. And there's maybe 1,500 users who are dependent on that piece of information, including a lot of them small businesses and stuff that have to relocate. So I think it's really, really important that we change at officer level. I think it's very important that we sort of put the foot on people and say, look, at the very least, you got to communicate, even if it's only a communication to say, I don't know at the minute, but I'll be in contact with you again next month to give you an oil update.
Want to come in there, Jeanette?
Yes, Chair. Yes, Councillor Burns, that was raised as an issue with me prior to Christmas, and I contacted two officers within council and asked them to make immediate contact with the group. So I'll follow up on that. And also recommend that we set up again those, I think they were bi-weekly or monthly meetings with the partnership and council officers. So we'll set those up again if it helps any. Okay.
Well, do we have a proposer? Proposed by Councillor Burns, seconder, Councillor Dorn. Item 8, Janine again, the DEA fora update.
Yes, Chair, the paper details the number of public engagements and events rolled out by the DEA prior to Christmas, and particularly focusing on levels of civic participation, personal safety and health and wellbeing. The action sheets from each of the DEAs who met within that time frame is included also. There's one action or recommendation which has a resource implication that's detailed in a paper further on down the agenda.
Right, thank you very much. Happy enough?
Yes.
Councillor Anders?
Just more or less, I'd just like to take the opportunity as Chair for a while in DEA to say we've been a very eventful year. And I'd like to thank our coordinator and also to other coordinators right across the DEAs and councillors and officers who all work together. I think it's a major step in the right direction, but thanks to all concerned.
Item 9, community trail hubs within Slieve Crib, and Michael's taking that.
Thank you, Chair. This is the item that Janine referred to previously. This came out of the Slieve Crib meeting in December. And these are a number of projects which were presented to the DEA. And these projects, it's believed, can be developed up before the end of this financial year. And should funding become available, we have shovel-ready projects to go. There's a report later on to do with an SLA. No, it's not later on. It's next month. I'm bringing a report to you on a potential SLA for Orney to develop up the rest of the trails across the rest of the DEAs.
Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'm happy to propose Just in the resource applications, I want to check that the results are they're not included in the current budget, but they can be offset by savings. Just wondering if these savings have been in the future, or these savings have been sourced already. Thank you.
Michael.
Thank you, Chair. Yep, the savings have been identified in the current year, so it won't have any impact on the rates whatsoever, and they've already been identified, Chair.
Okay. Councillor Burns?
Chair, I'll second the proposal. I think it's a good project, and I'm glad we can find the savings. I suppose Michael touched on the SLA with Orney. Is that something that we have in our capital, Michael, because... I'm sure other districts would be just as keen to get things moving, as they're not all ahead of the curve like the good people of Sleep Group.
There you go.
Chair, at the current moment in time, we have a very small amount in capital and a very small amount in revenue. This is all subject to the rates process. I know you've already considered an item that for additional expenditure that it's been caveated as being subject to the rates process. We're currently going through a particularly difficult time trying to find savings across the budgets. I can't confirm at this point whether that money will still be there at the other end of the process or not. If you're asking me, is there enough money? I mean, we don't know. All the studies haven't been completed. All I can say to you is it's a fairly small amount of money, and I don't see any chance, given where the council is in terms of the rate that it wants to strike, of us putting more money into the budget. Don't know if that answers the question fully or not.
Chair.
Councillor Enright.
Yeah, just the whole concept of hubs for community trails is excellent, and certainly you see it right across the Republic, and it's proving a huge thing for tourism there. And certainly in our own area, McHale will be very keen on it. You can see a situation whereby the coil barrier linking Dalamont Park with Castle Ward and Downpatrick and Saul would be a hub, or Saul would be a hub linking St. Patrick's Way to the Ulster Way and Downpatrick. And the coastal walks anywhere along the Lochiel coast, linking up to Dundrum and the Greenway, both in Downpatrick and down towards Newcastle. So it's something I really would like to see extended to other DEAs.
Well, I would sort of support you in that, but I think that would be an ERT matter, tourism. So it would, maybe if you wanted, maybe to put an item in the agenda there, Councillor Enright, you know, hopefully they will take it through in that, because I do believe that these community trails, the community hubs, are a good thing right throughout our district, you know, and the more of them we have, the better, I think, it'll bring more people into the district. But that's something that can be taken through the ERT.
Chair, the Outdoor Recreation NI have two service level agreements, one with the ERT and one herself. So anything that is a tourism matter would go through the ERT committee. Anything that's a community trail would come through this committee, so there were two.
Well, you've heard it proposed and second that we accept it. All in agreement?
Can I just come in?
Go ahead.
Thanks, Chair. Just one other thing I want to say. Earlier on, I said that there's a small amount of money which won't be enough to do all of this. The proposal that I would like to put forward is that if we want to do a number of these projects across all of the DEAs, we look for in-year savings next year rather than setting a large sum of money aside this year in the rates. We could look at trying to find savings once we get into the new financial year. And if you're happy, we could bring reports back on that basis to see if we can progress a number of the other trails in the other DEAs.
Happy enough. Heard a proposal and second agreement. Item 10, lease of land for community centre at Mullabon, Barnmean, and Lithnacree. Janine.
Yes, Chair, we are seeking approval to initiate discussions to progress the development of two leases we're about to expire and one lease that is not on time. So we want approval to go ahead and strike up those conversations and get the leases up to date and back to committee.
Billy, I'll propose that.
Patrick.
Seconded.
Proposed it, seconded by Councillor Loughran. All in agreement? Item 11, community centres opening hours. It's you again, Jeanette.
Yes, Chair and members, this was raised as an issue both through a notice of motion and also through the community centre effectiveness review. The proposal in front of you is to standardise opening hours of the community centres across the district, specifically the 7 council-owned and managed centres. They would, under this proposal, open from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday to Friday. There's no impact on current weekend hours, but we've continued to monitor that in line with requests by service users. So we're seeking committee approval to standardise the hours and include the associated cost in the reassessment.
Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, and I'd like to take the opportunity to thank those involved in organising that consultation in relation to the issues raised by the opening and stuff. But you know, what I'm concerned about is the low numbers of that replied. You know, as I say, you thought there would be a lot more in, but apart from that, the majority has spoken. We're bound as a committee by democracy, so I'll only be too glad to propose that things are left, propose the recommendations in the paper to carry on with what's going on.
You've heard the proposal, so we'll have a seconder. Councillor Brown. All in agreement? Item 12, funding from the Department of Communities for Welfare Reform Support Project.
Chair, this paper is to notify members of additional funding made available by DSC for the provision of welfare reform support. So we're asking permission to award CAB the amount of over £51,000 through a revised letter of offer.
Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. As a councillor, I deal a lot with constituents who are currently in the state of benefits, which are now have come under or affected by welfare reform. No, I recognise the stern work that the Citizens Advice Bureau have done for so many years, and for so many people, and you have helped so many people who have gone their way for help and assistance. You know, I think more or less with the minefield of what you call it welfare reform, it's just starting to kick in now. We've got PIPs very much to the fore. Universal credit is knocking on the door here within the next few weeks, and the detrimental effect that welfare reform is going to have on the people in our society who are most need of help, you know, and you know, with changes in the criteria, etc., you know, as well as Citizens Advice being sold on, a lot of us as councillors will be probably working flat out with many of our constituents. But in relation to the recommendations in the paper, I would only be too happy to propose that we do recommend that the DSC funding be awarded to the CAB in Newry Morning Down. You do a good job.
Councillor Brown.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Yeah, as someone who also deals with a lot of welfare issues these days, I certainly concur with Councillor Andrews and welcome this. Unfortunately, I feel due to the scale of the welfare reform crisis, we're currently seeing this will be a small drop in the ocean, but it's certainly positive to see the DFC are taking some action here, and very much welcome the funding being awarded to CAB.
Thank you. Could I also concur with the two previous speakers? Councillor Andrews is right. We as elected representatives are getting more and more casework here in relation to benefits. Our own office in Ballinahinch, we actually have a full-time caseworker on benefits that works across the Strangford constituency, working all hours and dealing with benefits. And as Councillor Brown said, this money is a drop in the ocean when it comes to work that's been done out there by CAB and other organisations, and I have to welcome it, so I do, because, you know, in the next 2 or 3 months, when you see what comes down the line, when universal credit and that comes in, you know, there'll be people out there knocking politicians' doors down, knocking the doors of CAB down to get in, to get these forms dealt with, so I welcome it. So all in agreement? Item 13, presentation by Ryan Flynn, McMillan Move More Coordinator.
Ryan, can I just welcome you on behalf of the committee? And you have roughly about 10 minutes to make your presentation.
We have 55,721 living with cancer. Of that, we have 8,940 diagnosed each year. Here in Uri Morton Down, we have 5,144. That's soon to go to 8,500 people living with cancer in the Uri Morton Down area. There's 1,155 new cases each year in Uri Morton Down. Cancer. In the 70s, 80s, and 90s, cancer was about to happen from cancer. More so in the 90s, 90s, and today it's more about living with cancer. The treatments are being more advanced, research is being more advanced. So there's more people living with cancer in the area, and more people need services. So we've all teamed up with the council and launched the new world program. We currently have yet on the council sent up. So in the Uri Morton Down area, the school is 8,500 people living with cancer. So there's 1,155 each year. So what is the benefit of being on this and doing more for now? What the research tells us is that people who are more active and given the national guidelines and physical activity, 150 minutes a week, 5 days a week, or 150 minutes over 7 days, or 5 days a week, 30 minutes. It reduces the consequences of treatment, reduces comorbidities, reduces the disease progression, decreases mortality, and decreases the occurrence of cancer. Unfortunately, 77% of those living with cancer are not meeting that standard of 30 minutes of physical activity, being active. More studies and research have told us that common types of cancer, breast cancer, colorectal, prostate, and ovarian, 20% reduction in disease progression from physical activity, meeting the schedule, 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. There's the third one then, our prostate cancer, 50% decrease in disease progression in the end. So, with the McMahon Movement Program, we're engaged in the Uri-Morton Down area with the Eastern Trust and Southern Trust, working with clinical specialist nurses and cancer specialist nurses, health and well-being events that are great for people who have been diagnosed with specific cancer types, other cancer charities in the area, people can self-refer over the program, oncologists in the hospitals, physical therapists in the hospitals on their surgeries, and McMahon introduces that there's GSA, the Big Alpine Area Hospital, and the Hospital of Boston. We will be marketing the program, we just launched on the 2nd of January. These applications, the application contract will be gathered. We'll have pop-up posters, postcards, club referrals, and we'll expect to be on the day. Primarily, the role of the report coordinator is to engage people living with cancer at any stage of their journey, at diagnosis, at treatment, at surgery, in remission, and at advanced cancer. Encourage them to be active. This could be in many different ways, not necessarily from these leisure centers, it may be walking groups and whatnot, and support them over the long term. Okay. So, what we've been doing. Doing last month is establishing engaging with the people who are living with beyond cancer, introducing them to the first main physical activity opportunities. This would be walking, sports, gym, swimming, active at home, home-based programs. It could be group-based or individual, depending on what their need is. These groups could be cancer-specific, non-cancer-specific, and we provide them with samples
Jackson.
Chairperson.
Just first, Ryan, thank you very much for that quick presentation. The figures are frightening, particularly in and around our Uri Mourne and Down area. And it's good to see that you're starting to work with councils right across Northern Ireland, and I hope that this council works well with you. But just want to ask this question. You talk about when people are referred, and that you maybe signpost them then to maybe advise them and encourage them to go to leisure facilities and that. Then people will go to the leisure facilities. Could we as a council, for them people, give them a discount or let them in free of charge, or is that already happening?
That has been agreed.
So it is. Well, I think that's actually a good thing, and that shows that this council, along with yourselves, is working in partnership, you know, because I'm encouraging them to go along and that there. I have to welcome that, so I do. But these figures are frightening. They're going to go up to 8,500 in this area, you know, and when it comes to cancer, you don't know what to say. Really, you know, it's an illness. You don't know what way to approach people. I have a couple of friends at the minute who are terminally ill with it in the Ballinahinch area, and that, and you don't know what to say to these people, so you don't. But I commend you for the work that you are doing and working with the councils and that there. And it's good to see that council has agreed that when they do go, that is in place. Councillor Enright.
Chairperson, I agree with everything you said. I do know at the last review of charges, we did manage to keep for a further year a steep discount for people over 65, and I believe that also included people with disabilities, which this possibly comes under. I know at the time we did agree that this was only going to be for a year or until the new leisure centre opened. Now, my own feeling is that for people over 65, and for people with significant disabilities like cancer, it's really incumbent on council to keep them active and healthy. And perhaps when the debate over rates comes up and the year expires, that we will make this once again a permanent feature of our charging and not do away with it, which I think it was the mind of council management at the time. But perhaps, Chairperson, we can address that when it comes up during this year.
No one else. Well, Ryan, I would like to thank you once again for your presentation. Item 14, Kilkee Leisure Centre, Capital Works, and Rowan's going to take that.
Yes, Chair, the report is detailed there in front of you. This is essentially seeking the committee's approval to proceed to work up the scheme, which is already in the capital budget for the next financial year. So it's no additional monies, it's just approval to work up the detail of the project itself.
Councillor Dorn.
I propose it, Chair.
Got a proposer. Councillor Fitzpatrick seconded. All in favour? Aye.
That was a quick one.
15, Physical Activity Conference. And Rowan's taking that.
Yes, Chair, thanks again. Officers have been working with our colleagues in ABC and Mid-Ulster, in addition to the PHA and trusts, to work on a physical activity conference to be held in March in Armagh this year, really promoting how we can get more people active. I would seek the committee's approval to continue this work and fully engage with it, and also to fund £2,000 towards the cost of the conference paid from the existing sports development budget.
Councillor Andrews?
I know, obviously, I know everybody's going to talk, but I think it's a very important topic, and especially when there's so much emphasis on healthy lifestyles and et cetera. But I do think it's a very good conference, and I'm only too happy to propose that Council support and participate within the best practice conference in March. So I propose.
Heard it proposed. Councillor Dorn second. All in agreement? Yes. Item 16. Newry Sports Centre.
Yes, Jerry, again, thanks. This is fairly straightforward. We have, as you know, closed down Newry Sports Centre. There are some redundant old bits of sports kits and mats, old office furniture, which are deemed surplus to requirements and would be either disposed and or recycled. We seek this committee's approval to drop a list of this and perhaps even circulate it to existing SANSA members first to see if any of them would be willing or interested in this equipment prior to it being considered for disposal. This would obviously be done in line with the Council's asset disposal procedures.
Councillor Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And is it, do they have to pay for it, or has it just been donated to them?
Officer's view is that it's free for collection, so they need to make their own arrangements to collect the equipment, but there would be no charge.
Okay, just another wee point, just so it was better. It's not really this department, but anyhow, I'm just raising it with you. I just happened to be in Monaghan Street today, and the gate's locked. Do you know, get into the old sports centre? You know, the thing, I did hear that there was a reason, but I can't remember quite what it was. I didn't get out of my car for fear that the man that was rattling the gate would ask me. So it's just, do you know why the gate? No?
I'm not sure.
Connor might know. You don't.
She'll find out for you, Councillor.
Bye.
You know.
Okay.
Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chairperson. Since exactly the same thing's going to crop up with the Downpatrick Leisure Centre, shouldn't we also give management permission at this stage to deal in a similar manner with what's in the Downpatrick Centre as well? When the time comes.
Well, happy enough for that. Councillor Andrews?
I'm only too happy to second the proposal, and it's good to see that the likes of SANSA members and all, etc., are going to get the chance to avail of equipment that are surplus to requirements. And in fact, it's good to see the likes of community-based organisations benefiting, you know, from stuff that otherwise would be scrapped or else, you know, sold by public auction, but it's good that they get the first bite of the cherry, so we're more too happy to accept the proposals.
Councillor Burns?
Sure, happy enough, just wanted to check. I mean, if it's any SANSA member can just turn up and grab what they want, first come, first serve, or do we turn around and give it to SANSA and tell them to take it to the next meeting with a bit of an inventory and hand it out to whoever's the most appropriate or most in need? You know what I mean, the first come first serve might be the only way to do this one, because it's Kilkeel and we maybe wrap that stage now and we don't have time and storage space for it, but for the likes of the Patrick one, it may be more beneficial to try and do it in some sort of organised fashion rather than whoever's got a lorry and wants to get up there quickly.
Not enough,
yeah, we can still look it up for the day passing.
Right, okay then. Item 17, the Mary Peters Fund. Rowan's taken that.
Yes, Chair. This is the letter that we've received. I think it's fairly frequent from the Mary Peters Trust on an annual basis. Officers recommend the same approach as the Council took last year, which is we do commit £1,000 from the Sports Development Budget to this fund.
Do we have a proposer? Councillor Loughran, Councillor McMurray, all in agreement? Right. 18, Mayo Bridge Play Park, update for approval. And that's yourself, all again.
Yeah, again, a fairly detailed report in relation to the consultation that we went through. The decision we're looking for today is that the Council approve the findings and recommendations from the report as set out in stage 1 and 2 of the consultation, and that we would move to stage 3 to work up a detailed design of what is planned. Also seeking approval that the council would sign the lease agreement between the community association and the council for the site at Mail Bridge at a peppercorn when, as it was previously agreed by the legacy council.
Councillor Patrick.
Yep, I would like to propose that, given that it's been quite a long time. My son is now 20, and he was on the original with Judy McCann all in years ago. Finally to be there and getting some movement, although you'll know I'll not be happy until Connor and the team are walking out after it's been opened. So, but thank you very much. But I will make the tea that day if you want.
Moving in the right direction.
Yes, thank you very much, Ken.
Thank you, Patrick. Councillor Ratner.
Thank you, Chair. I'm happy to second this.
That's okay. Happy enough?
Yeah,
all right. 19. The RDP application for the play park upgrades. And that's Rowan again.
Yes, Chair. The report sets out officer's recommendations, which is that we seek opportunities for funding from RDP within the village plan renewals, which would be suitable for play parks, and that we undertake the application and submit that on behalf of the council.
Councillor Dorn, proposed. Do we have a seconder? Councillor Burns. All in agreement? Item 20, realignment of play strategy, fixed play recommendations, year 1 to 5.
Yes, Chair. Again, details in the report there of the priority lessons which the Council has previously agreed for years 1 to 5. We're slightly behind the ball on year 1 just due to resources, but we're now appear to be back on track with one of our officers appointed, another one in recruitment. So we've set out there how we plan to deal with this for year 1 and year 2. A lot more projects will need to be undertaken in year 2, and the Council have already previously agreed to move the consultation for Raymond McCreesh Park and Barcroft Community Centre into year 1. So we have set that out in Appendix A and seek this committee's approval to proceed as detailed.
Councillor Enright.
Two questions, Chairperson. First of all, in Colloch, there was an understanding that we were going to look at the possibility of moving the play park to along the rope walk on one of the bits of council old land. If we were going to do that, we'd need to do a consultation well in advance of year 3, I think, Colloch is in. I just want to make sure that is still on the agenda.
Any works that will be undertaken will be subject to consultation.
It's just that if you're moving it, you probably need to do it well in advance.
Well, absolutely. We will do it in advance. As I say, we're slightly behind the ball with the year 1s at the moment, so we'll get working on that, but hopefully when we've got resources in place we can start to play a lot of catch up with this work.
Okay, the second point is, in fact, I had to consult to see if I had a conflict of interest on this one before the meeting on the grounds that my 11-year-old son plays hurley for Caliph, but I'm told that's not a conflict of interest, but I'm declaring it anyway. Thanks to Connor and his team, Caliph have a grant for a coastal walk or a run for the whole community. They also have a grant for a community gym, again, open to the whole community. And it would just seem more sensible to, if you're going to have a play park in Caliph, to be doing it around about the same time and not several years later. So I just wonder, would they look at that and see if it ties up from a point of view overall?
That can happen within that consultation then.
Well, we have that down as year 5 at the moment, Chair. I'm not sure of the time scales of the other bit of work that Councillor Enright is focusing on, but...
Planning is in.
Pardon?
The planning is in.
Okay, well, as I say, year 5 is planned for Caliph at this stage.
We're only dealing with year 1 to 3 here.
Well, years 1 to 5 are detailed. If we can do maybe some of the consultation, if we're doing other consultation, we can try and wrap it in. But certainly the capital side of the works is planned for year 5.
Yes. Councillor Brown.
Thanks, Chair. A welcome moving forward the review of McCreesh and Barcroft Park. There's obvious reasons why we're doing that, and I appreciate that. I just wanted to raise a question about Barn Macquarie Villas, the proposed site for a new play park in Darracross Village. I'd organised a meeting previously with Connor that he was kind enough to attend, where we discussed the possibility of moving that forward based on land offered for the park by the GAA club out there. And I was wondering if there'd been any consideration. I see that it's still in the column for year five, but I was wondering what consideration had been given that availability of land and the clear will from within the community to move that project forward, whether there was anything we could do to advance that particular play park.
Again, I know that Connor has been working with local representatives and indeed the community at that facility. I suppose at this stage, the projects that are set out here, there's a science behind it, why they've got to whatever year and what priority they're in. So if it is our recommendation that we maintain the position that we currently have with each of those, not being said that we couldn't work with local community groups in advance of whatever year they're due, but the capital works would be commencing in the year which is currently listed here.
Councillor Burns.
Sure, I just want to ask a simple question. We spoke previously when we were hearing this about Drummer Road, and the community association that's there are forming properly and constituting themselves properly, which they've never done before, and we've been helping them through the DEA. Now they're doing that with a view of making an application to rural development for funding to build on the existing site at Drummer Road. Now we've had it down for transformation in our previous study. I'm just wondering, does it need move then to consolidation, or do we wait to such times as they have the likes of a letter of offer or something in their hands? I'm just wondering, is it to be waited to that stage before we do it? I just my thoughts on it were that we had agreed that it was fine, we told the community group that it's fine for them to go ahead and make an application, because if they can secure the money, it's just the council won't do it for them. I just want to make sure that we've got my column, that's all. Because if we have it down for transformation, will it affect any application they do for rural development money?
No, it shouldn't affect any application they would do. The council have been very clear in your strategy, which has said that any community groups that want to develop their own facilities, the council play strategy doesn't preclude them from doing that. What we would say is that we would ask that it be developed in accordance with our strategy. It just means that they don't have the demographic to support the works through our strategy. Yes.
Happy enough, Councillor Mark. Well, do we have a proposer for the paper? Councillor Cummings and Councillor Burns. Item 21, and Owen's taking this, affordable warmth scheme.
Thanks, Chair. The Department for Communities are consulting on proposed changes to the affordable warmth scheme. The four main, it's in the paper in front of you, the four issues that have been proposed are laid out there. And in our response, we'd be supportive of three of them, not the first one about local installers. So we're just looking for approval to return the attached consultation response.
Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. As a constituent, you know, my constituency contacted us in relation to this affordable warmth scheme, and I think it's a very good one, and any opportunities that we can secure to expand the remit and entitlement are to be welcomed, and I'd only be too glad to propose that we go away and lobby the DFC or whatever to get those changes into place as soon as possible and get the message out there for so many to apply.
Thanks, Councillor Rotten.
I'm happy to second that, Chair.
Right, you've heard the proposal second. Happy enough? Yeah. Item 22, consultation on sports grounds.
Thank you, Chair. Again, the Department of Communities again are consulting on the appropriateness of the current guide to safety at sports grounds. Again, we're just looking for approval to return the attached consultation response.
Proposed, Chair. Proposed by Councillor Burns, second by Councillor Andrews. Agreement, yes. Items 23, Director of Health and Active Communities, Scheme of Delegation Report, 24, Kilkeel Leisure Centre Closure, 25, Play Tender Appointment, 26, the launch of the McMillan Move More programme, and 27, Calorie Ways Initiative with food businesses.
are all for noting. Does anyone have any questions in any of them? No. Me and Terry. Me and Terry. The calories initiative. Do you want to say something? Megal, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just wanted to re-emphasise the fact that there were a number of reports tonight which you have approved, which sought additional funding out of the rates process. Given where we are and the difficulties that we are currently experiencing in terms of trying to keep the rate as low as possible, it would be my intention, if you're happy with that, to take those additional items forward and suggest that in your savings would be used next year rather than putting an additional burden on the rates, if you're content with that. So I'll list them separately going into the rates program.
I have been up proposed by Councillor Enright, second by Councillor Burns. Thank you very much, Councillor.